So who can remind me of what happened last week? Who were the three main guys? Who were the three main guys last week? Does anybody remember? Go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's just fun to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king, he built this huge, just to refresh you, he built this huge statue, and he was like, yo, you need to bow to that. And they were like, we don't bow to anybody but God. And he's like, okay, you get thrown into the furnace, right? And he turns it up as hot as he can. And what happened? They weren't burned. They were fine, right? There was, the king at that time said that someone else, a fourth, was in the fire with them, protecting them. And we believe that to be Jesus, right? And so we have that going on. And last week, we learned that our trust ultimately leads to obedience. That our trust in God, if we truly do trust him, then when it comes down to it, we truly will obey him. Today, we're going to look at another story. And what we learned from that is our obedience ultimately leads to God's glory. God's glory, meaning making much of his name, making him awesome, being in awe of him, right? Pointing people towards him, showing others who God is. We'll look at a story today like that. But first, I don't know if y'all noticed, but a zombie apocalypse has broken out. I'm being dead serious. A zombie apocalypse broke out, and it looks like this right here. I gotta catch that one. The zombie apocalypse has broken out in the form of Pokemon Go. I mean, seriously, everywhere you look, it's just like, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. It's just everybody is playing it. I'm playing it. I'm not dogging it. I'm playing Pokemon Go, right? Usually when a huge fad like that just hits it, it's like, oh, that's just a phase. No, that ain't a phase. That's like some people's life right there, right? I mean, they're just, Miss Sydney's giving me a mm-hmm. Like, she's on it. She was up here earlier in the week catching them. So, but then she was acting like she was working. She really wasn't. So, I mean, it's crazy. So for those of you who don't know, it's a game that's a first of its kind. And it's really cool because it uses Google Maps. And so it's not just a game that you would play normally on your phone, but it uses Google Maps and it uses the actual streets out there, the actual buildings, Meyer Park, which is popping with them, by the way. If y'all need something to do this week, hit up Meyer Park because it's crazy out there. And you walk and then your phone will buzz and then it'll pop up and then your camera will show the actual what's in front of you in real life and then you can catch them, right? And you can, like, battle other people. You can go to gyms and everything like that. And it's crazy. So I don't know if you've played it or not, but if you haven't, I'll catch you up. When you begin the game, there's three starters that you can choose from, right? The first one, and I've gone throughout my life. I've played this game since 98. Y'all remember 98, right? Your parents hadn't even met yet. All right, so in 98 was when I started playing the game, and it got huge. And I was a cool kid because I had Pokemon on my regular Game Boy. Didn't even have color yet. We weren't about that color yet. And I was playing, and the first time I ever played, I started out with Squirtle. So I was like, dude, he's a turtle. Right, we have any Squirtle fans? Yes. Sam's all about Squirtle. So I had Squirtle, and Squirtle, you can choose from each one of these starters, but in the original game, once you choose one, you can't choose another, right? The one that you choose is the one that you stick with, right? And throughout the rest of the game, that's your guy, right? That is your guy. And each of these starters, they have like three different evolution types, right? You have your starter where they're like a little kid and you're like, oh, it's cute. And then you have, it grows into like its awkward teenage years to where it's like, it's not really a man, but it's not that little kid anymore. And you're just kind of waiting, you know, so you can evolve it again to where it's basically like in its early 30s, right? You have the adult version of it, right? It's still trying to be cool, but you need to make that transition to being a parent now type deal. And so there was Squirtle, and then he evolved into who? Wartortle, who evolved into who? Blastoise, yeah. And so he was this huge dude. It looked like he ate Wartortle and Squirtle, right? So Blastoise, that's why I was like, dude, I got to pick that dude. Or you can pick, there's like this fiery lizard called who? Charmander. You can pick Charmander. And he's like this salamander, maybe lizard, and he has fire on his tail. And so as I got older, I was like, dude, I'm going to pick that guy. Like, he's really cool. And he turns into Charmeleon, who eventually turns into Charizard, who's like one of the staples of Pokemon. Like, if you don't know Pikachu, you probably know Charizard. He's like this fire-breathing dragon. He's awesome. And then there's Bulbasaur, right? Bulbasaur, dude, Bulbasaur just doesn't get the love, man. It's like, oh, it's a frog. You know, like, fire-breathing dragon, or like this huge turtle with like water, like jets on it. And then there's a turtle, a frog, you know? So it's like, so as I got older, I was like, dude, I feel bad for Bulbasaur. Like, Bulbasaur didn't get the love anymore. And so Bulbasaur's got his three stages. He's Bulbasaur, he's this little frog, and then there's Ivysaur, and then there's Venusaur, right? And I was thinking, I was like, dude, I just feel so bad, because you even know Ivysaur, he got picked on in school. He did. Like, Ivysaur, he tried to be getting all into it, and then any time anybody can go, dude, is that a pink flower coming out of your back? Okay, whatever you just said means nothing anymore, because you have a pink flower coming out of your back, right? So you really have to choose, and it's all strategic. And that's a funny thing, because that's just a little choice that we make as we're growing up or in games and stuff like that. But these choices, I mean, we make choices every single day in our lives. You know, whether it's a game or whether it's something big, right? We have to make choices in the locker room for what we say, how we act. We make choices at work. How we talk, how we treat people, how we act, how we react to certain situations. We make all sorts of choices throughout our day. And then, I don't know if some of you noticed, as you get older, your choices have greater impacts. And so today we're going to look at a story. It's Daniel and the Lion's Den. And a lot of us have heard Daniel and the Lion's Den. I mean, it's one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. It's incredible. And it's not just well-known because it has lions. There's lions elsewhere in the Bible. It was very popular at that time for kings or other leaders to hunt the lions and then have them around them, because you're pretty cool if you got just like a squad of lions around you. You're like, I don't know who that dude is, but he has lions. He's awesome. I'm going to listen to him. So it was very popular to do that back then. It's a well-known story because of what happens, what he does, and the result of it, or the impact of it, and how his obedience leads to God being glorified. How his obedience leads to God being glorified. So, and if you're like, oh, dude, I've heard Daniel and the Lion, like, I could rewrite that story in the original Hebrew or Aramaic, however you look at it. You're like, dude, I know, oh my gosh, don't shut me out just yet, because, man, God's word is living and active. So what that means is, if, I don't know if some of you are in here, and if you've read a passage over and over and over and over again, you're like, man, I've read this passage like 100 times. And then you read it again and bam, something hits you. You're like, oh my gosh, how have I never seen that? You know why that happens is because the same Spirit of God that was with the authors writing the Bible, if you are a follower of Christ, is living inside of you. And he is showing you things throughout your life at the right times, and that he wants to reveal to you. And God, I know that God wants to show you something today. Even if it's a refresher, if God's shown it to you, it's a good refresher. So let's pray. God, we thank you for today. God, I thank you for our worship leaders. God, that we had a different time, that we just got to do, that we got to worship you through acoustic. Father, thank you for that gift. God, thank you for the message that you have for us today. God, I pray that I would get out of the way so that you may speak, Father. I ask that all the distractions or anything else going on just be laid aside just for a little bit, Father, so that everyone can see you. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So go ahead and open up with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If you don't know where that's at, it's right after Daniel chapter 5. So you should be able to find it from there. Daniel 6. It's in the Old Testament. So Daniel chapter 6. As you're getting there, I'll kind of help you set up. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when that happened, compared to Daniel's in the lion's den, a lot has happened in between then. There's been a lot of years. There's a whole new king now. There's a whole new empire, right? With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we had the Babylonians. And then now the Persians have come in, and now they have conquered the Babylonians, and the Persians are the ones that are ruling. And we have a new king, all right? And this is about in the 500s BC, so 500 years before Jesus was born. And Daniel is now an old man, okay? He's in his early 80s. And if you're in your early 80s, you're not old. Age is just a number, right? So he's well aged. He has a lot of experience, if that's better. He has a lot of experience, and he's been promoted. He's been promoted. He's one of the top dogs. He is right underneath the king. So let me set it up so you kind of understand what's going on. We have the king, all right? And then we have basically his three advisors. You have the king, his three advisors. And then underneath that, you have what they call satraps. I know that's kind of a weird word, satraps, but that was like the guys that were underneath him. There's 120 of them. All right, so you have king, three advisors, and the 120 satraps. Daniel was one of the three advisors. What's impressive about that is Daniel was not a Persian. He was not a Persian. He was actually a foreigner. He was an outsider, right? His people had been conquered, taken over, and then exiled, which means they were sent out of their land. So he's kind of there, and he's really from the other, from their point of view, he's not supposed to be there, right? But he has such good character, and he is such a loyal and faithful man that the king trusts this guy. He trusts this guy, so he is one of his top three guys. So let's begin reading in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." So what's going on here is there's these other guys, and they're looking at Daniel like, dude, he's not even one of us. Why is he up there? He shouldn't be there, right? And they probably got word that the king really likes Daniel, and the king wants to pretty much put Daniel in charge of everything so the king can just chill and be a king and hang out with lions and eat a lot, right? And so they're like, that's not going to happen under our watch. They're getting really jealous, and they're coming after him. You might be able to relate with Daniel. I don't know if anybody in here has ever been in a situation to where people are just out to get you. You're like, dude, what did I do? Right? They're just out to get, don't look around or raise your hand. They might be in here. But they're just out to get him, right? Like, he hasn't done anything wrong, but they want him gone. So they come up with a plan. And they're looking at him, and they're trying to find something on him. And they're like, okay, what does he do? Gosh, the dude doesn't do like anything wrong. He's human, he's not perfect, but there's nothing that we can bring to the king that we can think of that he's done wrong. So what do? They go, well, we know he's pretty faithful, so, okay, we're going to find something. Okay, I know he's a believer in God. I'm going to use that against him. Sounds familiar in these days. So what we learned from that is when I was reading that, I was like, man, how hard would someone have to look into my life to find something on me? Like, how far would someone have to scroll down your Instagram page to find something on you? Or look at one of your comments? Or your internet search history? Yeah, you can delete it, but it's still out there. Right? How far would someone have to look into that? And so that kind of got to me. I was like, ooh, if you felt that right there, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. That could be the Holy Spirit going, okay, yep, we got to get over here. So what we learned from this is that Daniel was consistent in his obedience, and that shaped his character. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Daniel's consistent obedience helped shape his character. His consistent obedience helped shape his character. Let's look what happens next. So they're jealous. They want to get something against him. Let's see what they do. Verse 6. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors, what we're going to do for this time is just combine those all together, and I'm going to call them jealous leaders because that's what they are. So you don't have to, what is a prefect? It's a jealous leader, okay? So all the jealous leaders agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction. Those are big people words for laws. That whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. It's a pretty harsh punishment. You know, today we get a ticket or a slap on the wrist. Like, what if the cop pulled you over and was just like, sorry, man, den of lions. This is what's got to happen, man. Sorry. You know, like, it's a pretty big, like, that escalated pretty quickly there, I would say, right? So they're thinking, so what they're saying here is, hey, nobody can pray. Nobody can say anything great about anybody but you, king. Here's why the king liked that. First off, the Persians had just come in and they had just conquered and he was looking to make a name for himself. And he's going, yeah, you know what? People do need to know I'm awesome. Yeah, they can do that for at least 30 days, right? Yeah, I am pretty awesome. Yeah, let's do that. It's only 30 days. And you remember how I said Daniel's one of his advisors? So he'd usually go to Daniel for big things, but this was only 30 days. So Daniel or anybody wasn't allowed to pray. So in our context, you wouldn't be allowed to pray at school. Maybe that's already happening to you. You wouldn't be allowed to pray anywhere in public. You weren't allowed to pray in a restaurant. You couldn't even pray in the privacy of your own home. If they caught you for that, they would throw you into, it was an underground pit of lions. That's what would happen. Okay, so Daniel hears about this, and what does he do? Daniel continues to do what he's always doing. He's consistent. He says, man, I pray 3 times a day, so that's what I'm going to do. All right? So Daniel, in verse 10, he says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. That was popular to do at that time, was to pray towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Right? So he wasn't like, oh, this is against me. I'm going to show everybody and do it in a public place. He had already been doing this. He was already consistent. Here's what he didn't do. Oh, it's only 30 days, so, you know, I'm just going to, like, chill on the praying thing or, like, pray with my eyes open as I'm staring at someone. They don't know I'm praying, you know, or I'm just going to, like, go under the bed and pray. Hopefully I don't do that. That's what he didn't do. He didn't try to justify it. He goes, man, I'm just going to be consistent. I'm just going to keep doing what I do, right? I'm going to obey my God. And so what we see here, if you're writing notes, here's the second point. Daniel chose to obey the Creator rather than conform to the culture. He chose to obey the Creator rather than conform to the culture. And here's the thing. Here's the cool thing that God showed me this week. He had his mind made up before the attack. Like, before this ever happened, he had his mind made up that no matter what happens, I'm going to obey my Creator instead of conforming to my culture. Right? It's the same thing if you're in sports. You don't show up on game day and you're like, what is this team? Okay, they run the spread. Okay, I think they got a good quarterback, right? The whole week, if you're in football, you're on scout team. When I was on JV, I was on scout team. It was terrible because coach made me play fullback. And fullback is, you don't get like any of the love ever unless you're Mike Allstott. You don't even know who that is. Play NFL Blitz. You don't get any love. You just got to block. And so I would just get run over the entire time. It was amazing. We see Daniel. And he had his mind made up before the attack. Throughout the entire week, you're going, okay, they have this guy, they're planning. We do this in life. Daniel had this set in his faith, right? He already had this set. Whatever happens, God, I'm going to follow you. Let's look what happens next. Skip down with me to verse 16. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought, and he was cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Here's a guy who has everything in the world. Everything. He's a king. He has everything in the world, and he is devastated about what has just happened. He didn't think about this choice. He didn't think about his consequences of what this choice might bring about. You know, he's thinking, oh, yeah, everybody worshiped me for 30 days? Yep, they should be doing that anyways. You know, he didn't think about that. He didn't think about how it could affect his number one guy or how it could affect his friend. Sometimes we think our choices, they just affect us and everybody else is okay. I mean, man, the enemy loves for us to think that. He loves for us to think, oh, it's okay. You're just, nobody knows. It's cool. That's not hurting anybody. It's all good, right? The enemy loves that. He's going to go, yeah, I believe that. That's cool. That's cool. No, we see that our choices have consequences on more than just us, that it affects others around us. Verse 19, then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste. That's an SAT word for hurried. He went really fast to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said, yep. Oh, no, that's not it. Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and no one has harmed me. So he goes, and he's thinking, oh, man, this is it. Like, he's a goner. I mean, we threw him to the lions. They wouldn't feed the lions so that they would be hungry. And this time, they wouldn't feed the lions so they'd be hungry when they put people down there, right? So he's going, oh, man, he's done. And they rolled a stone or a huge stone in front of the covering so that no one could get out. I mean, it was done. It was over with. But the king rushes in the morning just in case. And he checks it. Daniel's like, yeah, I'm good. We're cool. He's petting the lion. We're good, dude. It's cool. Yeah, this one's Simba. This one's Simba, right? No, like, he's boys with the lions now. And he's good. Now, actually, Daniel, the first thing out of his mouth was, yes, my God. He wasn't like, yeah, I strangled all the lions and they're all dead. Or like, he wasn't like Chris Pratt and like all the raptors obeyed him now. Like, he didn't do anything. Right? That was God that did that. The first thing he did was he redirected it towards God. He gave God the praise. God was glorified because of his obedience. And I thought this was interesting. These were the king's first words. O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And if you notice, he says, before this miracle, before Daniel is saved, he says, when the king refers to God, he says, your God. After the miracle, the king refers to God as the living God, and he says it twice. I thought that was pretty interesting that he goes from, yeah, that's your God, to that's the living God. So something clearly has changed there. And when Daniel said God sent his angel, that's actually different from, oh, yeah, he sent an angel. He sent his angel. Most people believe, and as do I, that was Jesus pre-incarnate. That's another big word for before he was physically born, right? This was in the 500s BC, before Christ, before he was born. Jesus has always existed, but this was him showing up and rescuing Daniel. And I think that was pretty cool, and I was thinking, man, God's right down there with us when we're in the lion's den. Man, how cool is that? That in the midst of that, man, there was no way he was getting out of that, yet there was God. There he was. I thought that was the coolest thing right there. So let's see what happens in our last section here. Go down to verse 26 with me. The king says, this is King Darius of the Persians, he says, I make a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So the king, what happens because of Daniel's obedience? The king writes a new law. Right? First he writes this temporary law. Now he writes a new law. And he's like, everybody will know about this God that just saved Daniel from the lion's den. They've got to know about this. Right? And that happens in our life. When we're just obedient to God. Daniel didn't know that this was going to happen. Daniel wasn't like, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because then I'll be thrown to the lion's den. They for sure won't eat me. And then he'll write this new decree so everybody knows. He wasn't being strategic. He was just being faithful, right? And he was letting God be God and God do his work through his obedience, through Daniel's obedience. And so he writes this new law, and we see that God used Daniel's obedience to change the heart of a king. And here's the fourth point. This is the fourth point that we see from this, that you cannot go wrong in doing right. You cannot go wrong in doing right. Daniel was consistently obedient, and that helped shape his character. He chose to worship and obey the Creator over what the culture was doing at the time. And he knew that God was always with him. So as we close, the band members are going to make their way back up here. And they're going to play for us. And as I was writing this, I was thinking, I don't want to get up here today and say, man, just follow God and it's all going to be good. You know, just like it's butterflies and rainbows. See, Daniel was saved. It's all good. Because that's not always true. You can't say that. I can say that. Because we see that happening. If you notice in the story, Daniel still went into the lion's den. He still went down there. Right? God allowed that to happen. He did. It was a part of his plan. And maybe that's not what you wanted to hear this morning, but maybe it's what you needed to hear. That God has promised, if you have trusted in Jesus, that you are safe eternally in heaven. Man, isn't that much more important than here on this life? We're all going to pass here eventually, right? On the timeline of eternity, life is about this big. And eternity is, well, we can't draw it because it's going to be eternity. And he's going to save your soul from that. That is much more, much more important. And so we see that God didn't save Daniel from the lion's den. He saved him through it. Just like Jesus, when the storm was coming, he didn't say, oh, storm, no, don't come. No, they were on the boat, and there was a storm in the Sea of Galilee, and then Jesus comes up, and he says, why do you have little faith? I'm here with you now. Just like Jesus was with them, was with Daniel then. And man, so I got to thinking, and I was like, God, why didn't you put that story in the Bible, right? Like, why didn't you put a story of a guy, he was so obedient, he did everything you asked him to, he was faithful, and he even enjoyed being faithful to you, right? Because that's what God does with our hearts. He enjoyed and he did everything right. But why didn't you write a story where God did everything right and then it just turns up bad for him? Why didn't you write that story? And then I felt God say, I did. His name's Jesus. I was like, oh, duh. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, so he did everything right. And so what we see in Jesus' life is Jesus came to live, die, and rise. And he did this all in obedience to God so that the Father may be glorified. Philippians chapter 2 tells us how obedient he was. How obedient was he? He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that was in order so that we may have salvation. And salvation is a gift, right? It's a gift that is offered to us. So I ask you, have you accepted this free gift? It's nothing you can work for. It's nothing you can earn. It's nothing you can buy. It's nothing, I'm going to be good enough. And it's nothing like that. It's, do you have the faith in Jesus and what he has done for you?
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.